Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be taking a deep dive into a company that's currently crowdfunding on Seeders. We're going to be speaking with the COO of Nebius. Nebius is an alternative for Web3. It integrates traditional banking and cryptocurrencies. We're going to be covering those markets in some detail. So I'd like to introduce you to Michael Stroev, who is the CEO of Nebius. Michael, thank you very much for being with us today.
Hi, Jonathan. Thank you. Thank you for having me on board.
So we're going to be discussing a little bit later on the crowdfunding campaign. That's on 96% at the moment on Seeders, set out there with a target of just over 1 million euros. So that's nearly fully funded. We're going to be talking about why the company's raising funds and what they plan to do with those funds. But before we do that, Michael, we're going to be speaking about the company. We're going to be speaking about the market and the exciting environment that you're operating in. But to start with, it would be good to get an introduction to yourself, please. You know, your role at Nebius and a little bit about your experience.
Of course. So I'm currently the COO and head of product at Nebius, but that's officially. Unofficially, I'm actually the COO, head of product, and head of marketing at Nebius. At Nebius, I basically developed the whole product, everything that you see, everything that you can feel, everything that you can use, it's me. All of the marketing campaigns that we run and brand that stands behind Nebius has also been developed by me. And from an operational perspective, I run Nebius, making sure that we are growing. can we take that again for some
yeah,
reason?
Yeah,
I lost my word.
Just take a pause. Just start again from whenever you feel comfortable, and we'll chop it out.
Yeah, cool. What's the word? Effectively, and I wanted to say we were growing effectively, scaling. So let me just actually start that from the beginning.
I mean, it'd be easier if we would just start from the introduction again. Just start from the top.
Yes. Let's do it. So can you shoot the question one more time, maybe?
Yes. So Michael, it'd be good to hear a little bit more about yourself and your experience and your role at Nebius.
Yeah, of course. Sure, Jonathan. So at Nebius, I am the COO and head of product. That is officially. Unofficially, I'm actually the COO, head of product and marketing. But what that means is that basically everything that you see from a product perspective has been developed by me. Everything that you see at Nebius from a brand perspective and marketing perspective has been developed and is managed by me. And I obviously manage oversee Nebius from an operational perspective, making sure that we're scaling and growing quickly and effectively.
Fantastic. So, as I said, Nebius are operating in the traditional banking and looking at integrations with cryptocurrencies. So it would be good to hear a little bit more about the operations of the business, please, Michael, and what you're setting out to do and the problem that you see out there in the market that you're trying to fix.
Mm-hmm. Essentially, we are a bridge between traditional finance and the cryptocurrency world. Today, the biggest problem is that a lot of, let's say, banks still do not work with cryptocurrencies. It's very difficult to move in and out of cryptocurrencies, whether you want to buy or sell them. And people who exchange using big cryptocurrency exchanges often find it difficult to withdraw their let's say, earnings to banks. With Nebius, we kind of, let's say, integrate those both worlds in one app, meaning that a person who trades, buys cryptocurrencies, sells cryptocurrencies, uses cryptocurrencies, doesn't need to withdraw his funds to his traditional bank. Everything is in one app. He can use Nebius for his cryptocurrency needs, but he can also use Nebius for his finance needs, meaning spending directly from Nebius, receiving salary directly in Nebius, and then straight away sending that to the crypto account for for spending, making third-party payments, basically using Nebius exactly like a traditional bank account.
Fantastic. So, I mean, where is this app targeted at the moment, Michael? You know, who's using it? You know, and sort of, you know, how many people have you got on board so far?
So we have 130,000 users right now, a little bit over 130,000 users right now on board at Nebius. Primarily, our user base is split between the EU and the UK. However, it's a little bit more inclined towards the EU right now because our full bridge between traditional finance and crypto is only available on the European side for European markets. It is coming to the UK very soon. So right now, for example, our marketing activities are mainly targeting at the core European countries and people who are residents in the EU, because that gives them, basically, European residents can open up their IBAN accounts, GBP sort code accounts on the money account side and start using Nebius as we are marketing it right now as that bridge between traditional finance and crypto.
Fantastic. So it'll be interesting to hear, Mike, a little bit more about what sets you apart from some of the other apps out there which facilitate payments using cryptocurrencies. I mean, it's quite an interesting point that you made there, that people are able to be paid into the app, that their wages paid into the app and then transferred into crypto if they so wish. So it'll be good to hear a little bit more about the mechanics of how the app works and what's unique about Nebius compared to what else is out there at the moment.
Okay. Well, I think that the answer here is very easy, is that when a user opens up a Nebius account, he gets a full-blown dedicated international bank account number, right? So like you would in any traditional bank, that you can use exactly like you would any traditional bank, allowing you to receive payments from any person, third party or yourself, make payments to any person, third party yourself. Your virtual Visa card is linked to your IBAN account, right? So it's a real debit card attached to an international bank account number, right? And all of that is seamlessly connected to the cryptocurrency side. So essentially, let's put it this way, from a mechanics perspective, you transfer funds, you send funds from your traditional bank account to your Nebius bank account, IBAN account. Those funds arrive. You then go and send those funds from your Nebius money account, your Nebius IBAN account, directly to your crypto account at the touch of, let's say, like three buttons, and basically start investing in crypto. Or vice versa, you receive your cryptocurrency funds from a third-party exchange, convert them into euros or GBP, send those funds to your Nebius money account with three clicks, and start spending. And that's it. The biggest difference is that not a lot of players right now in the market offer this. Let's put it this way, to get more into detail. Exchanges, for example, they have euro wallet accounts, which are not dedicated international bank account numbers in your name, right? So yes, you will potentially maybe have a card that you can link to that account and start spending, but it's not an account that's in your name. It's going to be the account that's in the name of the company of the exchange, and it's not going to have the same mechanics as a traditional, as an international bank account number, which is very close to a traditional banking framework. So that's the biggest difference, and that's what essentially separates us from the competition today.
So in effect, it's a bank account with that within the same app, you have the ability to transfer over into crypto and trade crypto and send crypto payments. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. So it's essentially like another, let's say, good example would be, imagine you have a traditional bank account, and then some traditional bank accounts have trading, like stock market trading, right? So usually to access stock market trading, you need to fund your trading account, right? Which is basically a process that you go into. You select your euro or GBP account, say transfer funds to your trading account, transfer those funds to your trading account, and start trading and buying stocks, right? That is exactly the same thing that we have on Nebius, but instead of the trading account and stocks, we have crypto.
So given that you've already built the infrastructure within the app to have a bank account and a crypto trading and payment facility, is there the possibility that you could open up other financial services within the app? You know, could it be stock trading or financial markets trading, for example?
Yes, and actually that's on the roadmap for 2023. That's one of the biggest products that we plan on releasing. It's basically a full-blown brokerage service that will allow stock market trading, commodities trading, potentially bonds in the future. That's something that is currently under development, and we hope to release it by Q3 2023.
Fantastic. Right, so we're going to move on now to one of the main reasons why we're speaking today, Michael, and that is your crowdfunding at the moment on Seeders. As I said at the beginning, you've nearly met in just a few days, actually, your target of 1 million, just over 1 million euros.
Yeah, and currently at 1,061,808.8. to be precise.
Yes. So about 96%. So before we go into the current round, it would be good to get an idea of how you've got here from a funding perspective, because of course to get to where you are, to get 130,000 active users on the app, that would have required some funding. So how have you got to the point or where you are now? I mean, what funding have you had in the past?
So initially, the company was bootstrapped by our founder and CEO, Sergey. So that took the company through multiple years of development, iteration, testing, up until 2019, where basically Nibis raised the first seed round. That round was approximately 1.5 million euros. That then got Nibis to, let's say, build the app and platform that exists today, right? So at that stage, we basically moved and developed everything that you can kind of feel and see right now. And in 2020, we had a round, a convertible loan round on Seeders again, right? So this was our first Seeders campaign in 2020, where we raised approximately 1 million euros in total, right? And this was from, I believe, 240 individual investors. This was with the help and support of the British Business Bank's Future Fund. And that has gotten us a long way. And right now we're re-fundraising on Seeders. This is the first stage of our Series A. We hope to raise a Series A, in which the total target for us is to raise approximately 10 million. On Seeders, we have approximately 1 million that is already secured. The campaign went public yesterday, I believe. We have 29 or 28 days left. We're hoping to raise as much as we can on Seeders and then have an additional top up from institutional and venture capital investors who will allow us to close the total target of our Series A round.
Fantastic. So it would be good to hear a little bit about, I mean, I'm sure investors listening to this as well, potential investors would be very interested to hear, you know, what these funds are going to be spent on. Because of course, you mentioned there that there was about a 1.5 million raise to get to where you are now. You've got to 130,000 users, which is very commendable. So, in terms of the crowdfunding now and as part of the larger Series A, what are you hoping to achieve from raising those funds?
Okay, so it's a simple answer. In fact, we have three products that we plan on releasing this year, right? And for which we are going to be focusing these funds, right? The first one I already talked about is the brokerage, right? So it's basically stocks, commodities, forex, brokerage trading essentially. Trading non-crypto, which again opens up an additional, let's say, use case of Nibis and allows Nibis to diversify and not be specifically only focused, let's say, on crypto, which we aren't already, right? But this allows us to be very diverse and, let's say, be a sort of super app, so to speak, if that makes sense. Second thing is a product that we are going to be developing focused on the crypto side, which is a crypto-backed credit line. Essentially, this, I need to go back a little bit into the past. Nibis's core product is crypto-backed lending, right? It was always traditionally crypto-backed lending. So it's what this means is it's a product that allows people who have cryptocurrencies to use those cryptocurrencies to get loans in either fiat currencies, Euro, GBP, or USD, or other cryptocurrencies. The core use case of that is investment diversification. or it was actually, let's say, specific targeted expenses. We are expanding this product right now by basically allowing users to accomplish the loan process, right, in fewer steps. This means that they will be able to go into to Nebius, select the assets that they have on Nebius, the cryptocurrency assets that they want to use towards a credit line, and they will automatically get a credit line on their debit card, on the Nebius debit card, on the Nebius IBAN account for instant spending. That's something that we're going to be developing. It's already actually being developed. And again, we hope to launch this by Q3 2023. The third product, and this is the last product that we plan to launch this year, is basically Nebius's, again, on the crypto side, move towards decentralization. So move towards decentralized finance. But to say, like, in more simple terms, what this will mean is that we will be giving users the ability to have self-custody of their keys and basically self-custody of their cryptocurrencies. So essentially, the wallets, the cryptocurrency wallets or accounts that are on Nebius, that a user sees on Nebius, whether it's Bitcoin, Ethereum, XRP, or any of that, he'll be able to go in, they'll be able to go in and click basically go DeFi, go self-custody, generate the keys. And at that stage, basically, we hand off all ownership of those funds and of the keys to the user, and Nebius does not have any control of that specific account, right? So that's control, security, and DeFi in the hands of users, all within the same Nebius app. Yeah, basically in the move towards, let's say, general decentralization, but not decentralization, because we're still a centralized app. That's on the product side. So those three things. That obviously comes with a little bit of marketing behind it. So we need marketing to let's say push those products out, to talk about this product, communicate about those products, and generally communicate about Nebius. So we'll be using those products to expand our communication, and at the same time we'll be using the funds to communicate about Nebius as a whole and boost the communication that we currently have. And all of that obviously goes with team growth. We have funds allocated as a specific number of funds allocated for team growth and legal and compliance. Legal and compliance is something that we always need. Legal procedures and compliance procedures are a daily of activity within any, let's say, fintech and crypto space. The next, let's say, license that we are planning to apply for is the MiCA license, MiCA framework, which is the European European cryptocurrency framework that is not still active. It is not still voted upon. But as soon as it is, let's say, in force, we will be applying for it. That should give you a full overview of our plans and what our funds will be used for for the next year and a half.
Fantastic. So it would be good to actually hear, this is maybe something we should have addressed a little bit earlier on the podcast, but we'll do it now. It'd be good to hear a little bit about the revenue model, Michael, and how you make money from the app. You know, is it a case that it's transaction based? Is there a monthly fee? It'd be good to get an idea of how you're going to generate your cash from your activities.
Very much, let's say, fintech banking framework revenue model. The first line is going to be transaction fees and exchange fees. So it's basically all fees that we charge for a transaction. For transactions such as depositing funds on Nebius, withdrawing funds from Nebius, transferring in between accounts. And it's also exchange fees. So basically cryptocurrency exchange fees. Then we have subscriptions. We have two tiers of subscriptions at Nebius, and every single tier gives you additional perks. So we have the free tier, like in any, let's say, neobank that exists today. Then we have a medium tier that is called hodler subscription. And then we have a ultimate tier that is the most expensive. That's called the whale subscription, which gives you the most amount of perks, the lowest fees, and things like that. And we're constantly developing new perks that we're adding to those tiers in order to make it more attractive. And last but not least, crypto-backed lending being one of our core products, our revenue model there is interest rates. We earn via the interest rates on the loans that we issue. And that's pretty much it.
Fantastic. So let's take a step back now, if we may, Michael, and just look at, you know, the wider industry, what's been happening in the fintech industry and also crypto. Of course, there's been lots of headlines recently about what's been going on with certain institutions. So it would be good to hear about how Nebius has reacted to those and what steps they're putting in place to make sure that they don't get caught up in some of the problems that we've seen elsewhere in the markets.
Just before I get into that answer, can you be more specific about what companies you are referring to? Because obviously there have been many different crashes and
there's obviously the most recent banking crisis, SVB, for SVB, example. That's one. But maybe to start with, because there will be concerns around, you know, all banks at the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, it's diminishing, but you know, when you're looking at what's happened with SVB and First Republic, there will be concerns around those companies that are operating in the more innovative end of the banking industry.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's put it this way: we had no exposure to SVB because they're primarily USA based. And luckily, we actually never, ever worked with them. I guess the biggest problem with them was their investment strategies and the use of the basically funds that were deposited into their savings accounts, amongst many other things. From a Nebius perspective, we are a little bit different. And again, even going into, let's say, the more of the cryptocurrency competitors or cryptocurrency alternative, let's say, platforms to us that have gone through, let's say, similar crashes in 2022. I think the biggest difference between us and them is that we've actually never moved assets out, users' assets outside of Nebius. So we've never rehypothecated assets and we've never reinvested assets. What this means is that, and why this is different to competitors, for example, they had the equivalent to savings accounts on their apps, allowing users to deposit funds and earn very big interest rates, right? And they actually never lowered those interest rates at all. They just kept them the same. So that's a monthly cost every single month. So the only way that they can cover that cost is to reinvest, rehypothecate, and do something with those assets so that they're actually earning money to cover their costs. At Nebius, we've never really done that. We've never really needed to do that because our business model covers all of our costs. And when we did need to, let's say, lower the costs of our savings accounts, which are called, let's say, staking and crypto renting, we just lowered the fees. That's it. And all up to the point where we can bring the fee, we can bring the interest rates all the way down to zero if necessary. And that's the biggest difference with us. So I guess it's just our approach and strategy that we had in the long term that has allowed us to survive this and be different to others, which is better for us, more secure and more secure for our users because they know that we have a no rehypothecation and no reinvestment policy at Nebius.
That's very interesting. I think that's something that people listening to this, your customers and potential investors, will be pleased to hear that your business model, your core business model, covers your costs, and you don't need to go out and take on investment risk to some extent by trying to generate returns to satisfy your interest rates.
Exactly.
So that's a positive. So, I mean, just another point on looking at the wider industry, Michael. Of course, it's a very fast-moving industry. There's been apps, as we mentioned at the beginning, that have been facilitating crypto and alongside banking accounts or similar style accounts for some time. So, I mean, how do you see this changing the overall industry that you're working in? So, what are the biggest themes that you see at the moment out there?
Biggest themes, let's say, in the cryptocurrency space specifically, right?
Yes, and then the wider fintech, because of course, with your mm-hmm. banking operations, you are operating in that wider fintech space as well.
Okay, so I think, let's say, a big theme this year, and this is also, let's say, why one of our products on the roadmap for this year is a move towards decentralization, right? One of the themes is DeFi. Everyone is talking about DeFi, self-custody, and things like that. Basically, the ownership of the assets that you have, not your keys, not your funds, right? That's a big theme, and that is the direct outcome of a lot of centralized platforms that have collapsed and people just saw their funds lost. For this, we are developing this basically self-custody option for our users that will be released this year. We also actually already do have an option for users to deposit funds into an insured secured vault that is done in collaboration with our partners, BitGo, and it's covered by a insurance of $250 million by Lloyd's of London. So essentially that product is free. Essentially what that allows users is to deposit their funds into their vault. And when they do that, those funds are deposited onto a cold storage hardware device that is in BitGo's custody. BitGo take that cold storage device, place it in an actual safe, in an actual vault. And in those conditions, it is insured up to $250 million by Lloyd's of London. So we already have that product. We made that free as soon as some of the good, well-known, let's say, centralized platforms collapsed. We made that free to show users that, hey, look, we have this option. If you doubt the security of your assets on Ebis, feel free to use it. It is now totally free. The next step is where we're going DeFi and allowing people to have full self-custody of their assets on Ebis within a centralized app. So that's definitely one theme. The second theme is obviously people are continuously looking for apps and platforms that will allow the bridge between both worlds, as we are, right? The banking alternative for Web3. People are looking for those, let's say, banking frameworks that are friendly to cryptocurrencies and that basically, or maybe even the best would be an app that has both worlds together. A lot of exchanges are, and a lot of, let's say, companies are adding cards and more products that are like allowing people to use their currencies more and more and not even currencies, but move in and out of currencies faster and better. We're already there. We offer the service. We have a full blown, as I said, IBAN account that a person can use just like you would his traditional account linked to his crypto account, which makes us already, let's say, leaders in the space, so to speak. I only know a few platforms in the world that have the solutions that we have available today. But that is definitely a theme. And I think that next year and in the several years to come, we'll have more and more companies that try and build the same thing that we have, but difference is that we're already there. We're way ahead of the curve.
Indeed. So just to finish off now, Michael, it would be good to hear and just to summarize actually what you spoke about, because in two key points, and the two key points that you feel are the most exciting things that investors should keep an eye out from Nibius over the long term, and to give them an idea of where this company's going.
Interesting. Look, I think I can probably maybe summarize it in one word. I don't know if it's honestly the best word, because it might be a word that is overused. I actually used it already once today on this podcast, and it's let's say super app, right? The fintech super app that allows a full bridge between traditional finance, traditional financial services, and cryptocurrency services, right? So we already have a full blown cryptocurrency ecosystem. We already have a full blown banking style framework allowing users to use Nibis just like they would a traditional bank account, right? With the addition of the new products that we're developing this year, the credit line, the brokerage, also on the crypto side, the move towards decentralization, that is really going to allow users to who are Nibis to tap into any financial product that is essentially out there, or at least the major financial products, right, for their needs. Using their currencies, investing in stocks, Forex, going DeFi, getting loans, getting a credit line, having a virtual card, having a physical Visa card that is coming this year and very, very soon, the whole thing. So I don't know if it's the best word to use, just because simply super app is something that I hear a lot of people talking about right now. And I kind of think it's a bit like... it's just overused, but it's a good way to summarize where we're heading And that's true. So yeah, one word, super app, fintech, crypto, financial services, and cryptocurrencies, super app. For the Web3 world. There you go.
Very exciting. Very exciting. And I think what we'll do in, you know, this is obviously a mission and a significant undertaking, and some of these changes are going to take some time, but we'd love to have you back in the future, Michael, to hear about how this journey's going, because if you get to that super app status, and it sounds like the plans that you have, it might just be a case of when you get there. It'll be interesting to hear about the number of users that you have, and a little bit more then about the revenue generation side of things, because that's going to be something that really could set you apart from some of the competition. And of course, that's something to come in the future after this current crowdfunding campaign. So looking forward to having that conversation in the future. And Michael, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Jonathan. And I look forward to speaking to you and in X amount of time to give you an update and tell you where we are.
Fantastic. So just as a final note to listeners, do check out the notes to this podcast. There'll be a link through to the Seeders page where you'll be able to find out some more information about the crowdfunding campaign, download the deck, get more information, do your own research, and really have a deeper look at this story. So Michael, once more, thank you very much for being with us, and thank you very much to everyone else for listening. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.